Coming up, a really fast hard drive for the Macintosh, a brand new tiny tablet, and a little bitty mouse. It's all next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com now. Click on the radio microphone and enter Before You Buy. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, visit audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. Hey, Leo Laporte here. Welcome to Before You Buy, our product review show on the TWiT Network. We're doing a little something different for Before You Buy today. We're actually going to use the whole place. See, the idea of this show is we get great products in, and then we let everybody on our TWiT staff review them. So I thought, well, if we're going to do that, we ought to show you the whole studio. Let's kick off things on Before You Buy with a review of a very hot new product from Google. Jason Howell of TNT and the host of All About Android was at the Google I.O. Developer Conference a couple of weeks ago and was one of the first to get the new Google Nexus 7 7-inch tablet for $200. Jason, is it worth it?
Hey, what's up? I'm Jason Howell, and I'm here with the ASUS Nexus 7. Now, this is an important device for Google and ASUS. It's essentially a Nexus-branded tablet, flagship device for Google, showing off the new version of Android, Jelly Bean 4.1. And it's an incredible tablet for the price, especially. $199 for an 8-gig version, $249 for a 16-gig version. Let's take a quick look at the specs. It's a 1.3 gigahertz quad-core NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor with 1 gig of RAM, 1280 by 800 HD LED backlit IPS display with 10-point multi-touch, has a 1.2 megapixel front-facing camera, and it lacks an SD card slot. It does, however, have Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, NFC, GPS, accelerometer, magnetometer, gyroscope, and a microphone. There is no cellular connectivity for this tablet. And it features a non-removable 4,326 milliamp hour battery underneath. Let's take a look at the design. It's an impressive, compact, contoured, and light tablet. The design, it just feels expensive, especially for the low cost. You don't expect it. It has a nice rubberized backing right back here that really keeps it from slipping out of your hands, and it just has a nice, solid feel to it. And overall, this tablet just feels solid and rigid. It does not feel inexpensive in the least bit. Now the display, with a higher resolution and smaller screen size, the pixel density on this, which is about 216 pixels per inch, is very crisp, and it's only really noticeable if you get extremely close to the tablet, which you probably won't. It can be somewhat dim in highlight situations. Overall, it has excellent viewing angles. It's just a really good display on this tablet, way better than the price would make you believe. Now, performance. System-wide performance is actually very fluid. Little to no noticeable stutter when moving from home screens and then jumping to the app drawer and throughout included apps. Overall, it's very fluid. Gaming performance is, again, very impressive. This is actually a really good gaming tablet with the NVIDIA Tegra 3 processor. It's just very powered for gaming. Grand Theft Auto 3 played easily. Also, a new game, Dead Trigger, actually plays like a charm as well on this. It was very enjoyable to play games on this form factor. Chrome is the browser of choice. It's installed on here as the default browser. First time for Android that that's been the case, and you're happy that it's there. It syncs with all of your other desktop instances of Chrome and other devices, and it's just really a fast and convenient browser on Android, though there is no flash support in Chrome, so keep that in mind. Use another browser for that. All right, now onto camera. Now, there really isn't a whole lot to say because, as you can see here, there's no rear-facing camera on the Nexus 7, only a 1.3 megapixel front-facing camera. They don't really intend for you to take pictures with this tablet. That doesn't really bother me. It'll bother some people. And the front-facing camera is serviceable for things like video conferencing, Skype, that sort of stuff. Now onto content, which is kind of a big play for Google because they're trying to drive more people to the place. store. Google's improved the quantity and types of content on Google Play to include the option to purchase movies instead of just rent them. TV shows can be purchased as well as magazines. And for a limited time, Nexus 7 comes with a $25 Google Play credit to get you used to buying through the store. So even more value for the low price of the tablet. Unfortunately, though, the content, the amount of content that you'll find in the Play Store kind of pales in comparison to the offerings of other competing OSs like iOS, as well as other ecosystems on Android, such as Amazon's. There's just a little more found in those other places versus what you'll find in the Play Store. So if you're looking for content, you might have to wait a little bit before Google's gets on par with those. And finally, what does it mean to be a Nexus tablet? This is about as scaled down of a version of the OS as you can get, with no carrier overlays like HTC's Sense or anything like that to get in the way. This is true Android, and being that it's the new version of Android Jelly Bean, it's actually kind of an exciting deal to get into it so early. On top of that, Nexus also means you're going to get any updates and support direct from Google, which means no delays in the back end. So ultimately, it means you'll probably be most likely to get the updates to the new versions of Android before anybody else, and that's a big plus. So let's take a look at the pros. It's a low-cost, high-quality design. It has impressive performance system-wide, has a sharp display, and it's a Nexus. And the cons: there is no expandable memory, content options are lacking compared to some of the competition, and for those who care, there's no rear-facing camera. But ultimately, that is not enough of a ding for me. I have no hesitation of recommending that you buy the Nexus 7. Quite simply, Google and Asus have created a winner here, and this is a fantastic tablet, and you get so much good technology underneath for such a low price, you can't pass it up. Find my reviews on All About Android at twit.tv/AAA. Thanks for checking out this review of the Asus Nexus 7.
Oh, I am so excited about that tablet. That is an amazing price. My only negative, the screen a little bit dim. I've been playing with it too, but I think this is a really compelling product. No wonder all the rumors are that Apple is going to come up with a competitor in just a few months. Now, let's walk over to John Slanina's desk. You know Jammer B, or John, as our studio manager. Normally he sits right here, but John happens to be in Tahoe right now. Fortunately, before he left, he recorded a review of this new subwoofer from Sonos.
I'm John Slanina. I'm the lead engineer here at the Twit Brick House, and I'm here today to review the new Sonos subwoofer. First, let me tell you about Sonos. Sonos is a whole house system where you put the speakers in the different rooms, and you can send different sources, either internet streams or your music library, to the various speakers, or you can tie them all together in party mode. We have Play 5, their top-of-the-line speaker. I have one here on my desk. There's one in the TNT set, there's one in the radio corner, and there's one at the back of the living room set. Lisa also has one in her office, and there's a Play 3 out on the reception desk. You control the Sonos system with your computer or with the dedicated controller or an Android or an iOS app. And you can adjust the volume, you can select the streams, you can put the zones together to play all the music through all of them. We don't get a chance to use it very much during our regular workday because we're working, and generally we're recording shows. But late at night, I come in to play with the wires and crawl under the desk. I turn it up and really enjoy it cranked. And Alex, too, comes in to work on the TriCaster late at night, and we both enjoy it quite a bit. It's not set up for stereo imaging that an audiophile would look for because both channels go to each speaker, but you can assign left and right to the various speakers for a traditional stereo setup if that's what you want. Now the subwoofer, it's pretty cool. It sounds really good. The coolest thing though I like about it are the subsonics, where you really feel the music when you have it at a reasonable volume. I can't really turn it up right now, and I'm sure you can't hear it as well as I hear it over my little lavalier microphone. It has two Class D amplifiers, and the force-canceling speakers are right here, and they face each other, and the force-canceling nature is supposed to eliminate the case from rattling. When you set it up, you can fine-tune it to your preferred sitting location, and you also get to adjust its relative volume to the other Sonos components. Now, here's something that you should always play when you're reviewing a subwoofer. Let me cue it up to the right spot. Okay. This is a lot of fun. Oh, oh, really sounds good. So, the pros of the Sonos Sub are its easy one-button wireless setup, the subsonics that you really feel, and it works standing up like this, or you can lie it down and put it under furniture if that's what you need to do. The cons are it only works with a Sonos system, and Sonos stuff is kind of top of the line. It's kind of expensive, $699. And because it's wireless, there's a little bit of a delay, so you can't really use it for home theater. But if you own a Sonos system, or you're considering getting one, and the low end is important to you, then I can highly recommend that you buy the Sonos Sub. I'm John Slanina for TWiT.
All right, here's my impression of John Jammer B. Slanina. Ooh, ooh, it sounds so good. It sounds so good. Ooh, ooh. It does sound good. That's terrible. I'm sorry, John. I'm only doing that because he's not here. Hey, before we go on, we got some more great reviews in just a second, but I want to tell you a little bit about one of our sponsors, Stamps.com. Can I give you a review on Stamps.com? Buy it. Buy it. Buy. Actually, you know what's nice? You can try before you buy. Stamps.com lets you print your own official U.S. postage using your computer, your printer. You don't need a postage meter. You don't need special ink. You just need Stamps.com. You'll never go to the post office again. Oh, imagine always having exactly the right postage. In fact, you even get a USB scale. So, I mean, you really have the right postage. Ever put too much postage on a package just to make sure it gets there? Never do that again. You're always doing the right postage. You can buy stickers if you like the sticker stamps. But the best thing is Stamps.com will print right on the envelopes, print right on the packaging. You can, if you're sending international mail, Stamps.com will print out the all the forms you need and the international postage. If you're an eBay or an Amazon buyer or seller, it'll do all of that too. In fact, it even gets the buyer's information from eBay, prints it out for you, prints out the postage. I mean, this is the way to go. Now, here's our special trial. All you have to do is go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and you're going to get a $110 no-risk trial. It includes $55 in postage coupons, a free digital scale. You just pay the shipping and handling for that. That's about $5. A supplies kit and a four-week trial. Stamps.com. I don't want you to go to the post office anymore, and you don't need to with Stamps.com. Print postage. Have the mail carrier come and get it. It's absolutely great. We like it so much. We have two accounts here at the Brick House. We use it all the time. Stamps.com. We thank them for their support before you buy. So I've had on my desk something to review for some time. This is from Elgato. It's something very exciting. We were, you know, all us Mac users were very excited about the idea of Thunderbolt hard drives. Thunderbolt was a technology invented by Intel and Apple. It was originally called LightPeak, and it was originally an optical connector capable of a huge amount of throughput. Apple's been putting Thunderbolt on some of its machines for some time. I just got the MacBook with Retina display. It has two Thunderbolt connectors, so you can connect a monitor to one and then drives or other Thunderbolt devices to the other. Now, there are some downsides to Thunderbolt. First of all, you have to buy a special cable. None of the Thunderbolt devices that I know of come with the cable. This is a $50 cable from Apple. Fortunately, I was able to go over to PixelCore and borrow it from Alex Lindsay, so I didn't have to buy it. This does not come with it. The drive itself, prices vary depending on capacity. This is a 120 gigabyte SSD drive, and it costs about $400+. 120 gigabytes, $400. Here's the disappointment. When I ran it through my benchmarks, I got very, very disappointing numbers. So let me show you a couple of benchmarks. Starting with this one. This is the native SSD in the MacBook Pro with Retina. It has a very good SandForce controller. It's a very fast drive. As you can see, it writes at over 380 megabytes per second and reads at 442 megabytes per second. We're actually redlining the Blackmagic disk test. Well, click to the speed of the Elgato. It's a little bit disappointing. 114 megabytes per second, 212 read megabytes per second. This is, by the way, always the case with SSD. It reads much faster than it writes. you're just not seeing the full Thunderbolt speeds on this drive, and I have to think it's because of the drive itself. But here's the really surprising thing. I tested also this USB thumb drive from Kingston, the HyperX. Now, this is a 64-gig drive, $100, so it's half the storage but only a quarter of the price, and its speeds, its throughput, very similar to that of the Thunderbolt drive from Elgato. Now, maybe Thunderbolt drives will get faster. Maybe they'll figure out how to get the interfaces better. But until then, I can only say don't buy the very pricey Thunderbolt drive. You need an extra cable. If you've got USB 3, which you do on the new MacBook with Retina or on most PCs, then you're going to get all the throughput capable of this Kingston HyperX drive. I mean, that's really great speed, and it's a lot less expensive. So can I recommend this Thunderbolt disk? Not this one. We'll try some others to see if they're a little bit faster. This is an early attempt, and I have to say, you know, there's some nice features of it. The pros are it's got a nice metal case. It's lightweight, doesn't need additional power. It's fully bus-powered from the Thunderbolt port, and it is a Thunderbolt drive. I mean, that's cool to have. The cons, it's very pricey, and unfortunately, it just doesn't take advantage of the Thunderbolt speed. The throughput is just not very good. So do not buy, I'm sorry to say, on the Elgato Thunderbolt SSD. I'm really excited about this next review. Buffalo sent us the newest 802.11 AC routers. Now, you know about 802.11 Wi-Fi. There's B, there's G, there's A. There's N is the latest standard. Well, there's a new standard. It's not yet ratified, about a year out, called AC. And it has a lot of nice features. It's supposed to be a lot faster. It's at a higher frequency, so there's less congestion. And it has some very cool bandwidth aiming features. I'm really not capable of reviewing this thing. I played with it. I was impressed. But I thought I'd give it to a guy who really knows his Wi-Fi. Our own IT guy, Russell Tammany from Exponentia Systems. Russell, what do you think?
Hi, this is Russell Tammany for Before You Buy. Today I'll be reviewing the Buffalo WZR D1800H router and their WLI H4 D1300 access point. First, I'll start with the router. So this router supports the new 802.11 AC standard, which is up to 1300 megabit. It has 2.4 and 5 gigahertz radios, so it can do simultaneous dual band. This means that it can support your old wireless B devices to wireless G to wireless N and the newest AC standard, which is not available in most laptops or really anything yet, which is also why we'll be testing their wireless bridge. One of the things about this router is that it was extremely easy to set up. I took it home, and it has a little card in the bottom of it. On the card in the bottom of it, it already has pre-programmed in the wireless SSID, or what the name of the network is, as well as the security key for it. You can simply take it home, plug it into your internet, connect to it via Wi-Fi, or connect to it via a wired connection, and it's already working and it's already secure. Now, one of the things you're most concerned about with this type of router is it really fast enough for my internet connection? Now, this is the fastest standard, 802.11 AC, and in my tests, it's much faster than wireless G and B and N, but it's not really that much faster than a good dual band wireless N router. So if you have a fast internet connection, I have a 50 megabit internet connection, and this was able to handle it over wireless just fine. So this router also has a USB port in the back. The USB port can be used to share a hard drive or a USB thumb drive with other devices on your network, and it even has a web page interface where you can share it remotely, so you can access the files and media on it remotely. There is a limitation, though, in that it does not support any other file systems than FAT and XFS. So another thing that's very important with a wireless router is your range. Now, the range in this wireless router is very good. It's not really that much farther range than my wireless N routers. However, it's just a little bit extra, which is nice to have. This router is extremely fast. It's the fastest router that I've tested so far. And even though there's no laptops or desktops and other devices that really support the 802.11 AC standard, that's why we have Buffalo's WLI H4 D1300 wireless bridge. What a bridge allows you to do is join your wireless network, and then it will give you wired connections to attach to devices that don't have Wi-Fi. So this could be great for connecting desktop computers in another room, DVD players, Xbox, things like that, that just don't have Wi-Fi in them that you still want to put on the network. So the pros for the Buffalo WZR D1800H are that it's very easy to set up. It's very fast, and it has good range. And the simultaneous dual band gives you backwards compatibility. So you can replace your current router without worrying about any compatibility issues with older devices. The cons are that it's a little expensive. It's $179.99 on Amazon. And the interface is really not the best if you have to get into the settings. And the USB port sharing and UPnP media features really don't work that well. Aside from that, I'm going to give the Buffalo WZR D1800H a buy. Now, their wireless bridge, which is the WLI H4D1300, also would get a buy. There's really nothing else that you can buy right now that's going to connect at this high 1300 megabit speed. So if you want to replace a wired cable in your house with a wireless system, this is a great system to link them up and get rid of the wire that you may have run along the ground or on the wall. This has been Russell Tammany for Before You Buy, reviewing the new Buffalo 802.11ac wireless router and their 802.11ac bridge.
Thank you, Russell. That's Russell Tammany. He's our contract IT guy. He runs his own company called Exponentia, and he's really a genius. I have to say, I agree it's pricey. My other concern with the Buffalo, and there are two, I think Netgear's also doing an 802.11ac, is that it is early. We have at least a year before the AC gets ratified, and there could be some changes. Also, you know, there are some very limited situations where it's not ideal. It is such a high bandwidth, it's not going to go through walls in a lot of homes. So it is something you might want to think about before you spend all that money. Russell just likes everything that's new. Here's something I'm not sure we like. You got to come with me on this one. This is a, what do you think that is? That's a mouse. That's a mouse. So I'm going to have Brian Burnett, who is our technical director for the show. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Leo.
I'm going to have him roll Chad Johnson's review of the Logitech Q. Roll it.
Hello, my name is Chad Johnson. I'm with Twit, and Before You Buy, reviewing the Logitech Cube. What is this thing, this weird plastic rectangle that sort of goes against the name of a cube? Well, it's actually a mouse. Around the device, you have a micro USB insert and a on-off toggle. There is no removable battery inside this mouse, so you have to use the internal rechargeable battery. Some of the features of this mouse include tactile click, so you actually feel and can hear when the mouse clicks. There's a touch scroll right on the top. Your right click is actually, it doesn't actually use your dominant right click finger. You actually have to use your left click finger and then click in the middle of the mouse. I found that actually a little bit distressing. I had to reprogram my brain to use that. And then also it has a presenter mode where when you lift it up off the table, the mouse will switch into presenter mode. And if you click while the mouse is upright, it will go forward a frame. And if you click while the mouse is upside down, it will go backwards a frame if, say, you're in a presenter application like Keynote or PowerPoint. I had a few problems with this feature because it would actually happen if I, say, lifted the mouse off my desk and moved it to a different portion of the desk. It would flip into presenter mode, and it had like a few seconds until it would switch back into mouse mode. Now then, something to note is that there is no place to store the receiver dongle, so either you have to have it stuck in your computer all the time, or risk losing it in a backpack, a briefcase, or anything like that. They didn't even add an area on this on the case that they send you. So hope that you don't lose that dongle. Let's get into the pros and cons of this device. It is small, which I like for travel. It is stylish, and I enjoy the tactile click on the top. Some of the cons are that it has a very bad right-click design using your non-standard finger. The blunderous presenter mode really frustrated me, and there is no place to store that USB dongle with the mouse. Finally, this device comes in at around $70 online. Buy, try, don't buy for the Logitech Cube wireless mouse. Don't buy. A solid don't buy on this product. It was just frustrating to use. It's not ergonomic. I had problems just using it on my desk, and I used it for about 2 weeks, and it was just full of frustration. Thanks. I have been Chad with Twit, and Before You Buy, see you next time.
All right, our old redhead, Chad Johnson, with a review of the... Actually, Chad's right here. I don't know why I'm saying that. Chad's the guy holding the camera.
Hey, how's it going?
So it's kind of silly. I mean, it's nice and compact, but is there... Are there any... I mean...
Oh.
I just lost the USB dongle. It's now gone forever. There's nowhere to store it on the entire device.
That's weird, because normally Logitech will give you somewhere to insert it or whatever.
Yeah, no, not at all. It's just a plastic cube that you can't open, no removable battery, and it was just frustrating. Just frustrating.
Can you play Minecraft with it?
No.
Chad is the host of OMG Craft, which is a show we do every once in a while. So you're going to do it on a regular basis on Wednesdays, you think?
Every Wednesday night.
All right. Yeah. Talking about Minecraft. All right, now let's take a walk over here back to our normal set. We'll put Chad back to work. And while I'm walking, because I want to show you this new product called the Obi-Hi. But while I'm walking, I want to talk about one more thing about one more great sponsor, and that's, of course, Audible.com. You hear us talk about Audible all the time. We're big Audible fans. It's an audio bookstore with 100,000 titles. Thrillers, romances, yes, 50 Shades of Grey, all three volumes. I'm a little still sweaty from that. Did you like that, Sarah? Did you enjoy it? She didn't listen to it. I asked, did you like it? Yeah, he's two thumbs up from I asked. You got audiobooks. There's something about listening to audiobook. It actually is, believe it or not, visual. Because you're sitting, you're listening, you're driving, you're at the gym, you're walking the dog, you're doing the laundry, whatever it is that you can't hold a book, you're listening to the books, and it just comes to life in your mind. There's so many great titles, so many wonderful books, and the best readers in the world. I'm a huge Audible fan. So here's the deal. We've set it up so that you can get a free book and try it for yourself. What you do is you go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. You'll be signing up for the gold account. That's a book a month. Your first month's for, there it is. This is a very adult book. Not for everybody. I'm actually shocked that Ayaz listened to it. I think he's too young. Can you pick something else? Here, go to the front page. This is the hard thing about Audible. There's so many great books, it's hard to choose just one. How about The Power of... What is that? Habit. Oh, this looks good, actually. Why we do what we do in life and business. See, they have great self-help books. They've got great technical books, science fiction. You're going to have a tough time picking one, but you've got one for free. audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. You'll sign up for the gold account. That's a book a month subscription. But your first month's free. Your first credit's free. And the book is yours to keep forever. And if you cancel at any time, you don't have to pay a penny. Just give it a try. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. All right. This little doohickey was recommended to me, or I guess somebody called the radio show and asked me about it, and I had never heard about it. So I visited the site, obihai.com, and found out about the Obi. Now, they make a couple of models. This is the least expensive, and the one I'm recommending for most people. It's only about $40 on Amazon.com. What does it do? Well, you connect it to your internet, uses a hardwired Ethernet access, no Wi-Fi on this. It has power. And that is a phone jack, my friends. This thing lets you make internet phone calls for free. Now, you do get an Obi number. That means you can call anybody with another Obi device, but how useful is that? More useful with the Obi is the idea that you can connect it up to your Google Voice account. And suddenly, when somebody calls my Google Voice number, I've got a phone connected to this, and it rings wherever I am. It means Google Voice is now my VoIP provider. The best thing about this, Google Voice is free. In fact, long-distance calls to the U.S. and Canada are free at least through the end of the year, and I expect Google will extend that as they did last year for yet another year. Also, very inexpensive international calls, and Google Voice has lots of other nice features. You probably already have a Google Voice number. I just love the idea that I can now make it be like a landline phone. A couple of caveats on this. First of all, no 911 service. And they tell you that again and again. No 911 service. So this is not an emergency phone. It's you know, basically using VoIP. It's nice because it's a regular handset. And the phone rings. It also continues to ring all the other phones. They're doing something a little weird. They're using Google Chat for the signaling system. But as far as I knew, Google doesn't mind, and it really works well. Best of all, there's no monthly fee, no yearly fee. You don't have to pay anything. Once you set this up, With the OBI servers, you don't even have to connect to OBI ever again. This becomes your gateway to Google Voice. This is the OBI 100. If you want to also connect to a landline, and I would recommend that if you want 911, you'll get the OBI 110. That's a little bit more expensive, about $6 more expensive. And then they have other models, the OBI 202. I don't know what it does. It gives you two lines, I guess. But frankly, for $40, use me my free Google Voice account. This is an amazing deal. If you're looking at VoIP for your home, your office, even on the road, this will work fine as long as you get a Wi-Fi connection. This is a great choice. A definite buy. Pros, inexpensive, no membership fees, no lifetime fees. And it works really well. The sound quality is just as good as Google Voice. If you have enough bandwidth, it'll sound really good. Free long-distance calls through the end of the year to the U.S. and Canada. Very inexpensive international calls, too. Cons? I can't think of any. It's a definite buy. I'm really happy with the OBI 100. Well, that's it for our edition of Before You Buy. Wow, we had fun. I hope you had fun seeing our studios. Thanks to our technical director, Brian Burnett, our producer, Nicole Lee, to Chad Johnson, who did the camera work. Good job, Chad, on this and reviewed that little itty-bitty mouse. Also to Russell Tammany, our IT guy, to Jason Howell. Who else did a review on this show? Am I missing anybody else? I think we got everybody. Thanks to you for watching. We do this show. We're going to start doing this at a new time if you'd like to watch live. We're going to do it Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. And we're going to change a little bit the way we do it so that you'll actually be able to see the whole show put together. Right now, we just do my stuff, and then we put the reviews in later. So starting in the next couple of weeks, once we can figure out all the kinks on this, we're going to get it so it's actually a full show to watch. So remember, before you buy, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. And then, of course, after the fact, as with all our shows, we make video and audio available on demand at twit.tv, iTunes, and everywhere. Better podcasts are aggregated. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks so much for being here. Remember, you gotta watch before you buy.